You won the TV! You won the TV, man. You can pick it up anytime you want. Really? Yes, you are. Very lucky. So we just wanted to congratulate you and let you know it's here for you. And God bless you, sir. Happy Father's Day. All right. Okay, sir. It's here. All right. Have a great day. God bless you. All right. Bye-bye. He says, no, it's not. I says, Pastor Ron, no, it's not. Oh, that's fun stuff. Amen. Oh, you guys ready for the word now? Well, see, I know I got a message here somewhere. Why don't we stand and let's read the word together? We're going to read out of John chapter 17. Title of my message this morning is Knowing Your Father. John 17, we're going to begin at verse 20. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want those whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Dear Heavenly Father, we just receive that love today. We thank you, Father God, for the great love that you have for us, that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die for us, to pay the price so that we could have life. And Father, we just declare today that as we go through your word, Lord, we receive it. We receive the life. And I pray abundant life in the fellowship of believers here today. That, Lord, abundant life would come into them and the Spirit would fill us overflowing. And Holy Spirit, truly, that you would breathe on us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Great day to come and celebrate fathers. Amen. You know, as I grew up, my dad was always an encourager to us. There were six of us kids. There's three boys, three girls. And he thought that we could do anything. Didn't matter if we thought we could do it or not. I was 5'1", weighed 107 pounds when I entered the 10th grade. And I went out for the varsity football team. And my dad always encouraged me that I should be a starter. I said, Dad, have you seen them guys? They weigh 154 pounds than me. That wouldn't be the case today, but back then that was the case. I was tiny going into high school. But my dad always thought that I was the best and that I could do all things that I put my mind to. And he always just tried to build me up. And looking back at my dad's life, you know, he was a good provider. He always worked real hard and provided the very best he could. And he did a good job, too, providing for us. Because we didn't know we were poor. You know, we had no idea because my dad did such a great job. But he usually worked at least two jobs. And he did what it took to provide for the family. You know, me and my siblings, we were cut pretty much from the same cloth, and we've done the same thing. We've worked really hard in our lives to provide. I know that when Carly was a little girl, I worked a job. I was a general manager of a company in Hemet. I was the youth pastor here, and I had a couple of companies that I programmed for on the side because I was a programmer also. And Carta came to me one day because she felt like I had four jobs because I had these other customers and stuff. And she said, Dad, will it be okay if I only work two jobs when I grow up? You know, because she saw my work ethic and stuff and how hard that I did work to provide for my family. And my dad, he did all that he could for us. But in that, sometimes, you know, when people work that hard, comes weariness. How many of you ever get tired? You're working so hard. You know, I look over you, Tony. I know you're working hard. Rick, you got your own business, man. Everybody thinks when you own your own business that you got it made. But you become a slave to that business, and it's difficult. It's hard, and you have to work very hard. And my dad would come home tired, and it was tough on him at times. I know. Sometimes he'd come home, and maybe your younger generation don't know what Pong is, but my dad used to lay on the floor and play a half hour of Pong just to unwind, you know? The little black and white, dink, 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 dink. That was his favorite game. He just loved to lay on the floor and play that to unwind. And but as my mom started a business, which she retired from just a few weeks ago, she was... It's time to retire after 40 years. She retired at 75. And, yeah, wow, she's, you know, but as she went to work, my dad was able to slow down a little bit more and enjoy life. But by that time, I was married. Getting married or right in there. You know, because as men, we're taught to provide for your family. We're taught to work and toil, you know. It's even part of the curse that Adam received. You know, you shall toil in the land. It's going to be hard all the days of your life. It's like, whoa, you know, but I don't believe I'm under the curse, amen? Because Jesus became a curse for us so that we don't have to live it. So, but we're told to provide. And we know that God is our provider. But I think sometimes we don't always know what that looks like. We don't know what it means to wait on the Lord for provision and to trust God. And today we live in a society where most families, many families have both people working, the husband and the wife. And kids are on their own a lot to figure things out. Kids are raised by people like my mom who, like I said, ran a daycare center in her home for 40 years. And it's funny, my mom started out raising these little kids and having all these little kids. And then when they grew up and they started having kids, they brought their kids. Now their kids are growing up and having kids, and they were bringing their kids to her. My mom's three generations deep in raising kids for people because she was so good at it, and she was great at it. So they would be bringing their kids to her. But a lot of kids are left to their own to figure things out, and a lot of kids today feel unloved because their parents have had to work so hard and haven't been able to be home. And it. Shh. I probably ought to turn him down or turn him off, huh? That's why I never bring my phone into the service. There we go. Here, why don't you catch that there? And so a lot of kids get hurt in that process because the parents aren't always there to tell them what to do and to give direction. And I was watching a TV show the other day. I just turned on the end of a show. And they were talking to this guy that had lost a loved one, and it had really hit him hard. Something had happened. I just caught the end of the show, but something had happened, and he was emotionally, you could tell, really just hurt. And somebody told him this. They said, you know, you can drop a bag of eggs, and a lot of them will break, but not everyone will break. And it just got me thinking, you know, that's true in life. We can get dropped along the way, and some people will break, and some people will build off of that. And it doesn't make you a good person or a bad person. It just means your makeup is a little different. I look at my sister Jeanette, who was dropped when she was 10 years of age. She was dropped off in the streets of Albuquerque, New Mexico, on the street. Her mom left her there. She continued to go to school. She continued to get food to eat. She continued to get clothes. At 10 years of age, she had to figure it out. But she didn't allow it to break her. She is built from that. And she's allowed God to build in her. And she's a wonderful, powerful woman of God today because of what God has done in her life through the years that she's been serving Him. And you know, sometimes we don't know, you know, why if you drop eggs, why some break and why some don't. But I do know that there's a lot of hurt in this world that can make or break us. And a lot of people need that encouragement to get up. And as a dad, we don't always do the right thing. How many of you dads have always done the right thing? I thank God for your honesty. Me neither. And in that, as a child, have you ever taken to find out what's happened to your dad? Because there's things that have happened in the generation of dads that are behind us that probably shouldn't have happened. You know, they went through rough things. I know my dad, when he moved to California, he was 14 years old and he hitchhiked from Michigan. He came to California to live with one of his brothers. You know, that's that generation. Tough and strong, silent, rugged. That was my dad. But he had a heart so big. He never wanted you to see him cry, but he would cry because my mom would tell us. But that was my dad. In the same way, God does not always do the things the way that we would do them. He does things differently. When you read through the Old Testament and you see the children of Israel, God really wanted the children of Israel to be separate from the other people. Because the other people were evil. And God said, you got to stay away. You can't intermingle with them. You know, and how many of you know that sometimes your parents see things in people you're hanging out with and say, they're not good for you. You should stay away from them. And they tell you, you know, don't hang out with those kids because, listen, evil company corrupts good habits. And that's the word of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 15. Good company, evil company corrupts good habits. And parents know that. You don't want to know why dads, you should let your dads pick your husband? Is it because your dad recognizes qualities that maybe, and things that he did that he doesn't want you to be involved with? Man, I can smell guys coming. It's like, no. Not you. You go. I remember one daughter brought home this boy one time, and Pastor Jesse, he wanted to go on a date. First time he wanted to date my daughter. I said, come on in. And I sat him down in my family room. I got my video camera and I set it up there. I said, I want you to just look into the camera, state your name and address and your driver's license number, and let me get a good picture of your driver's license. That guy's like, what? I said, if you want to go out with my daughter, get it out. Another guy came over and he was wanting to date my daughter, not this one, my other daughter, Krista. I said, you really want to go out with my daughter? I said, hey, I go, hey, you want to see my sword collection? And he's like, what? I go, I got some awesome swords. I got some really long ones, you know. I said, well, and I got some Japanese ones and some Chinese ones. And I said, you want to see my swords? And he's looking at me. And then Greg, because Greg and Carly were already married, Greg says, or you could just let him pray for you. My daughter goes, go look at the swords, man. He starts praying for you. It's over. But that's the thing, you know, your earthly fathers, they see things, they know things. But your heavenly Father knows so much more, amen? Your heavenly Father sees things and He knows things. And He has the best plan for your life. And in this passage today, Jesus is declaring how He and the Father are one. They're tight. They're united. And there are some things that I believe that God wants us to pull out of this passage for all of our lives, or for you fathers here today. And the first thing that I believe He wants me to just point out to you is we are a direct response to this prayer. This is a prayer that Jesus made. We are an answer to prayer for Jesus. Because he said this at the beginning of the prayer. He said, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all, everybody say all, who will ever believe in me through their message. We are an answer to that prayer because we are the ones that believe in him through this message. Now, Thomas was one of the disciples, and Thomas was not there when Jesus rose from the dead, and he was in the room with them. And the next day, Thomas comes in, and they said, hey, you missed Jesus. He was here. And he's like, no way. They go, no, really, he was here. And he's like, I will not believe it unless I can put my finger in the holes in his hand. Next day, Jesus just walks through the door. Doesn't open it. He goes through it. He comes into the middle of it. And he goes to Thomas and he says, hey, go ahead. Put your finger in here. Opens up his eyes. Go ahead and put your hand in this hole in my side. And there's a rumble in the house. All right, I'll stand right here. So, and he looks at Thomas and he says this. He says, Thomas, you believe because you see. But he said, how blessed are those who have not seen and believe. That's us. We're them. We are an answer to Jesus' prayer. We are the ones that he was praying for. And he knows. Well, let me back up a minute. Maybe many people don't understand everything that our Heavenly Father has for us. We don't get everything that he wants to do because we don't understand because it's different than the way we would do things. But I am stuck on this. He has the best intention for my life. The Word says all things are for my benefit. And I believe that. Sometimes I don't see the benefit, but I believe. Like even when my dad passed away, you know, you say, how can somebody die be a benefit? When my dad passed away, 40 to 50 people looked up at me to receive the Lord. Even Maureen at Vinny's service, over 100 people looked up at me to receive the Lord. It's just like, you know, there's a power in that. And I just look, we don't understand everything, but God has a plan, amen? And he knows what's right, and he knows what we have need of. And with God, I'm learning to wholly trust in what he says. It's just like when I'm worshiping here, and God says, I'm healing people with the pain in their joints right now. He says, I'm healing from the back of the head right here. Right back there. I'm healing that right now. You know, I want to come. I trust him. I trust that he's doing it. That's why I get up and say, I would rather stand up here and make a fool of myself, Pastor Jesse, and nobody raise their hand that they have that going on than to not get up here and declare it. I would rather stand up here and declare the word of the Lord and make a fool of myself than not do it. Amen? Because I know that God knows what he's doing. And I trust him with my life. I believe in him. And I know that he cares for me way more than my dad did. And my dad really loved me. My mom was in the hospital yesterday. And I don't know, it was 8 o'clock at night. And I said, I'm going over to the hospital. And Delonda's like, well, what can you take her? I said, I'm enough. So I took her a box of chocolates. I said, I brought you a box of Goobers, Mom. And I said, but I told Delonda that I'm enough. And she goes, you are enough. I'm so glad that you're here. You know, so that I could just, because she wants me to pray. She wants me to just come into agreement and pray with her. And that's what I do. That's what I did. You know, she's in a fight. But I'm not broken by it. I'm not moved by it. I'm only moved by what God says. And he's got it. And he's in control. That's what moves me. God's got it. And it brings me great peace because I know it's in the hands of my Heavenly Father. Amen. And I trust him with my whole life. And he's got a plan for me. Amen. And he's got a plan for you. And in that plan, number two, he says, we can be in the Father and the Son because of what Jesus did. Now, when sin came into the world, we were separated from God. We didn't have the access. And then Jesus came out of the love of God and took all of our sins, sickness, and disease, our pain, our peace, and He put it on the cross so that we could have life and life more abundantly. Amen? I count on that so that we could be in the Father and He could be in us, that we could be connected to God the Father. He restored that relationship for us so that we can approach the throne of grace for who He is. We have access. And we have everlasting life in Christ Jesus. John 3:16. Most people know this scripture, even if they don't go to church. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Everybody say everlasting life. That's a great thing. Sometimes we struggle with connecting with our Heavenly Father because we've had a hard time connecting with our earthly fathers. There's been a battle in getting to know, and many times sons and daughters feel rejection because they haven't been able to connect with their earthly father. And it's difficult going this way. Earthly fathers, let me tell you right now, I am one. We don't understand everything. We don't know everything. We like to think we do, but we don't. You know, I grew up playing football, riding motorcycles, doing crazy things, doing racing motorcycles, just doing everything. When I was a kid, man, we would ride to the San Gabriel Canyon and play in the river up there. We'd ride out to Pudding Stone, go fishing. I'd hike over the hills from West Covina to La Puente just to have fun. I mean, we just did rugged stuff. We had fun. And then when I got, you know, I have the house full of brothers and sisters. There's six of us. It was rough. Me and my brother, we fought all the time. The last fight we had, he broke my nose. Yeah, I had got him good in the back of the head. And he turned and he just snapped my nose, you know. I was like, wow. That was the last time we had a fight, you know. I miss them good old brawls now and then, you know, a knockdown, drag out. You know, we don't do that anymore. You know, I'm bigger than him now. I take him out. If you're going to watch this, kid, I'm just kidding. But then I get married, and I have two wonderful girls. But it was very different from the atmosphere that I grew up in. You know, Carly, my daughter here today, she just wanted to be as close to me as she possibly could get. She wanted to, we had a playpen couch, you know. And I'd like to come home from work and sit down on that couch and get up in the corner, you know, and have one arm going this way, one arm going this way, and the remote in this hand and a drink right on the little couch table right behind me right here, you know. Just relax. And Carly would somehow get in between the couch in me and wiggle down in there so she could be in under my arm. It'd be like, wait a minute, how did you get in there? You know, because she's just a snuggle bug. And her kids are like that too. My grandsons, they just want to snuggle. Papa, let me snuggle you. And I'm like, really? You know, because I mean, I grew up, let's just fight a little. You know, but now I got kids that just want to snuggle and hold me and cuddle me and you know, and I asked Carly and Crystal one time, I said, hey, you guys want to play soccer? You want to play softball? And they looked at me and they said, and run? I'm like, well, maybe not, you know. So I have girls. It's great having grandsons. Man, they love to fight. You know, we're trying to get them not fight so much. You know, but it was different for me. And, you know, I know because it was different for me that along the way, I hurt Carly's feelings. I know I did. I know there was times I hurt her feelings. I still hurt her feelings. I know I do. I don't like to talk on the phone that long. I'm a couple of minutes on the phone. Now, Delonda and Carly talk for a couple of hours. And Carly, she'll call me in 2 or 3 minutes, and then she'll say, you're done, aren't you? I said, well, I know I hurt her feelings, but I don't mean to. But I'm just a guy I have to stretch to get there. Not because of who Carly is, but because of who I am. And you know, if you sit and talk to me that long, I got about a 5-minute attention span. You know, counseling for an hour, praise God. But I know I haven't been the perfect dad. But I look at Carly. And the one thing that she's taken hold of, I mean, she's a lot like me. But the one thing I know she's taken hold of is her passion for Jesus. She's looked past my shortcomings, and she picked up the most important thing, my passion for Christ. And she's very passionate for the Lord. You've seen her up here doing the flags. She probably hasn't got to do that since she's moved to Kentucky. So she's like, hey, I'm going to do flags today, okay? Absolutely. You know, my grandsons were in here last Sunday night, and my 7-year-old walked up to me. We had Robert Mosbach. We had a special meeting last night. My 7-year-old grandson walked up to me, and I told the church, when your 7-year-old grandson walks up to you and says, Papa, can I do the flags? It's yes, every time. It doesn't matter how crazy they are, how destructive they are. They want to worship with the flags. It's yes. And man, they just brought in the presence of the Lord, waving them flags. Because they're just following after their mama. And they love to do that. And she's connected with the Heavenly Father. And she has that promise of eternal life. Amen. And as we are in Christ, we can do number 3. We can walk in unity. You know, we can walk in unity with God and with each other. As I said, I trust God with everything. So it's easy for me to walk in unity with Him. Even when I don't understand everything. I don't get everything. I don't understand everything He's doing. But I always trust that He's in control. Like even with my mom, I trust God's in control right now. I just trust it. And I'm encouraging her and building her up and just encouraging her faith today because she is a woman of faith. But the hard thing is to walk in unity with everybody here on earth because we don't trust everyone. Why don't we trust everybody? Because of things that have happened to us. Because of past hurts. Because of past wrongs. Things done to us that have, you know, people have come and approached us and they've had a motive for why they were there. So we put our guard up and we hold people like this a lot of times. We keep them away, you know, and we're afraid. What will happen if they find out about me? What will happen? Will they judge me? Will they love me? So we keep it guarded and we keep people at arm's length. And we walk around sometimes and we really do want to be loved. And, you know, and we say, I really love you. I want to love you. And but it just gets in the way. I can't do that to mom. She'd kill me. Well, that's how we try to love. We try to love like that. And we keep them at arm's length. And God's wanting to pull our arms down because He wants us to live in unity that we can really trust, that we can trust each other with our lives. I was in a pastor's meeting the other day, and Pastor John Boss was there. And he's told me this personally before. He said, you know, that he goes, there's some men in this room that I trust with my life. And he told me before, as we were growing together in the Lord, John Boss and I, he said, I trust you with my family's lives. He said, I trust you with my kids' lives. And we have a trust. And you know, but I believe God wants to bring that trust. Listen, the first place He wants that trust is in the family. That we could really let down our guard and just love. And sometimes that's hard. Because we've done things and we've said things that we can't take back. I watched this video the other day. This guy got these kids together and he gave them one a toothpaste and one a hair gel thing. He said, okay, He said, empty them out. So this kid, man, he emptied all that toothpaste. He had it all in a pile, all that toothpaste. Another guy had all this hair gel, all in this. And the teacher says, okay. He says, now I want you to put it back in. So they're trying, and they're trying to get it, but you know, the kid's trying to get the toothpaste back in. The guy's trying to get the hair gel back in. And he said, it's just like our words. It's impossible to take back. You can't put it back in. Once it's out there, it's out there. And this is where we need grace to abound. Because we don't always say the right thing. We don't always do the right thing. I know I've said things to Delonda that she wanted to kill me over. And she chose not to. I told you, man, I said something to her one day, Rick. She called me. She said, you know what you said to me? She said, that's what we get divorced over. I'm like, oh gosh. Man, I'm nervous, man, because when you bring that stuff up, you're like, and she said, but who we are and what we do is bigger than that. She said, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to pretend like you never said it. I'm like, really? I was so overwhelmed with joy. I mean, I'm on the phone. I could feel tears just welling up because I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You're going to let it go like I've never said? And you know, by Friday, that was on Wednesday. By Friday, she couldn't remember what I said. You see, that power of when we just release it. You see, and that's the thing we need. If we're going to walk in unity, if we're going to be as the Father and Jesus were one, if we're going to be one with the Father and with each other, we have to learn to just say, grace, grace, grace unto you. Peace to you. I'm letting it go. I'm going to just surrender it to the Lord. And I'm just going to walk like you never said that. I know I said something one night, something stupid, and she goes, I didn't hear that. I said, hear what? Because I do, I say stupid things sometimes. But the Lord is so gracious to me to give me a chance. So if we're going to walk in unity, we have to allow it to come, amen? We have to allow it to flow. You know, sometimes you just got to whap your husband upside the head and say, I know you didn't mean that. Let's try again. That would have been a good time, ladies. A few weeks ago, as we've been going through the Beatitudes, I talked about the peacemaker. Blessed is the peacemaker. Amen. Jesus has called us to be peacemakers. It's a priority for the Christian to be a peacemaker. I read you this definition a few weeks ago. Jesus prioritizes the ministry of human reconciliation in the statement of, blessed is the peacemaker. Showing peacemaking as the birthright and the birth assignment of God's sons and daughters. It's our right and our assignment to bring peace. And it begins at home. Begins with the family. And I read you this. Peace is often hard won. It came at great cost to Jesus, who sacrificed his life that we might have peace. And here's the touchy part. A peacemaker is willing to give up his perceived rights as he pursues a path of seeking and advancing harmony among individuals, families, and nations so that they may experience peace through God's love. We become that kind of peacemaker if we are willing to walk in step and allow the Holy Spirit to empower us and pour the love of God into our hearts. We surrender our rights for peace. We let go of wrongs done to us. We let go of words spoken against us for the sake of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. That takes us into number 4. so that we can be where Jesus is. That's Jesus' prayer. I want them to be where I am. You know, the intent of giving Christ reign in our lives is to be with Him one day, that we will have eternal life. Amen? But right now, today, I want to be with Jesus. Amen? And He wants us to be with Him. In John 14, verse 17, it says this. It says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." That's the promise Jesus had. He said, "I'll not leave you orphans, but I will come to you." And on that day of Pentecost, He sent His Holy Spirit, who was with us but is now in us. The Spirit of God, the living God, dwells with us all the time. He never leaves us. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." That's the intent. He's not left us as orphans. He's always with us. We have that this way. But maybe this way, you've been abandoned by your earthly father. And who knows what the reason was. But your heavenly Father, your heavenly Father knows His promise to us to never leave us, to never forsake us. He's to always be with us. And one of the biggest things that Jesus came to do is, number five, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back right now, number five. Number five, He came to reveal the Father to us. He did everything that the Father told Him to do so that He could reveal the Father's heart. You know, us as guys on this earth, we're just trying to get there. To reveal God the Father through our lives. Jesus did it all, though. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. That was Jesus revealing God the Father to us. He revealed what God wants for us. He came to connect us back to God. To be the bridge between the separation that occurred from sin coming into this world. Jesus shed His blood for our junk. So that when we accept Jesus, God looks down from heaven upon us and all He sees is the blood. All He sees that the blood of Jesus washes us and cleanses us from sin. Cleanses us from the hurt, and He just heals us. He sees that the blood has washed away our sins. Our mission statement is based on this verse right here, Colossians 3, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering." You know, when we come to Jesus, we are the elect. We're chosen of God. That's what that word means, elect. It means chosen. But it also means this. It means favorite. To be the elect of God, you are God's favorite. You are chosen of God. You're chosen of God. You're not here by chance, Joe. You're chosen of God. Scott, you're chosen of God. AJ, you're chosen of God. RL, you're chosen of God. Rick, you're chosen of God. Matthew, you're chosen of God. Dion, you're chosen of God. You're His favorites. And then He says this, "You are holy. You are beloved." And as dads, we may not have done everything right. But while we're still here, we have time to get it right. We have time to make some changes. To line up with our Heavenly Father. We have time to reveal Christ to our families. And you might still be rough and rugged and not the cuddle bug type. But that doesn't mean that God can't do a work in us today. Amen. Just bow your heads for a moment with me. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I need to connect with the Father, God the Father, through the Son, Jesus. And I want to make that connection. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to just surrender to Him today. And I want to let go of the things which are behind me, my past. And I want to begin anew today. If that's you today, I want you to just raise your hand. That's you. You're just saying that. I want to begin anew today. Anybody here? We'll just wait a moment. I'm just believing that if you're not raising your hand, then you are connected with the Father. I'm going to ask if all the fathers would come and stand here at the altar with me today. They're going to sing a song with us, and then I want to pray over you. So all you dads, come on down. And as they come, I'm going to ask if you ladies would come in behind them and just lay hands on them. If everybody would just come and see the hands on these men of God. Come on, guys, get in close so they can come in behind you. Ladies, just lay hands on them today. Let's just believe today. As you want, lead us today.
In humble adoration, I kneel before your throne. In brokenness, I seek your face alone. Above you, there's no other who's able to restore.
Matthew, I'm going to ask if you'd do me a favor. Could you go stand behind Bob, our drummer? I just believe every dad needs to be covered right now. Father, I thank you for the love that you have for us, your children. And Lord, I thank you that you give us fresh starts and new chances, Lord. Your grace is never ending towards us. And Lord, where we as earthly men, Father God, have fallen short, and we've said and we've done things, Lord, that may not be pleasing to you and may not have pleased our children, Father, I pray that you would just wash us clean of that today, Father. That your grace would abound. And Lord, that your grace would just be so alive in our homes, Father God. That forgiveness would flow today, Father God, and healing would take place. Lord, let it rain down on us today, Father God. I pray, Lord, your strength into these men of God. I pray that you cover them, protect them, Father God. Give them words of life for their family today, Father. From this day forward, Father God, we just commit to being, Lord, as good as we can be in you, Jesus. Lord, we know we're imperfect, but Lord, you're perfect. And move through us. Move through us, Father. Let your Spirit just shine through us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that just strength over all these men today, over all these fathers, Father God, that you cover and protect, restore and heal today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that you'd bless these men of God. And Father, I want to thank you for the women behind us, Lord. The women that you brought to cover us. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that in this house there would be a spirit of unity, Father God. Pure unity, Father God. A pureness of unity. Lord, that we don't talk bad of one another, but Lord, we speak the love of God to one another. We cover and protect each other. Lord, I give you praise today, and I thank you for the example that we have in you, Father God. And Lord, I pray that as you sent forth your word and heal us, Lord, I pray that we could bring a word to our families of healing today. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap today. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, have a great day. I'm sorry you didn't win the TV, but Joe's really happy. You guys have a blessed day. I love you. And look forward to seeing you. Come Wednesday night. We have a great study on Wednesday night that we're going through. It'll just transform you. God bless you guys.